Doug Smith was there at the United Center. He joins us now. Happy New Year, Dr. Smith.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing wonderful, sir. How are you, man?
Well, it's minus 18 here in gorgeous Milwaukee, so I've been better.
There you go. Well, what do you make of what's going on with this team right now? When they need to make a shot, when they need to make shots, when they need to hit shots down the stretch to win, they're doing it. What do you make of all this?
I think they're really good. They got a guy who can go get your basket when you need a basket, DeMar DeRozan, who's playing at a level that a sustained level that I don't think he's matched probably in his career these last 3 weeks. He's been unbelievably good.
And yeah, I agree.
It's just crazy. And they need a bucket. They give him the ball. He gets a bucket. But they're also playing well. DeLon Wright last night looked like an all-star. This is a guy who's sneakily athletic and just really, really good. And, you know, he had 25, 13, 5, and 5. Like, that's crazy numbers.
Don't mind if I
do. They're getting stuff where whatever they need each night, they're getting. And I think that's a sign of a good team. They can beat you a lot of different ways.
Doug Smith from the Toronto Star joins us. He's on the Raptor road trip that started in Chicago last night and goes into Milwaukee tomorrow. That game can be heard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Doug, what do they got to do? They've got Milwaukee, in theory, a soft night on the road in Brooklyn. Miami, Tuesday, second night of a back-to-back, and then the gauntlet, right? Then you've got Cleveland and Golden State. What do they get? So that's five games, is my math of that bad? Two, three, five. Yeah, five. So what do they got to do in those five games, these five games, to keep this rolling, to avoid some kind of like, oh, they're not as good as everyone thought they were?
Oh, they probably got to get four.
That many, eh?
That many.
I would say, maybe three, but if they get three, they got to get one of those two at home, that Golden State-Cleveland series. They got to get one of those
right.
two. I don't know which one. You got Golden State, I think, plays the night before on the Friday, so that's a back-to-back for them. Cleveland is good, but I think they're still trying to figure out Isaiah Thomas and will be then. So if they get three and one of them is one of those two, then I think they're going to be all right. But I also think they can get – tomorrow night's the big one. Tomorrow night's a tough game. You're playing a team that's home, rested, one at home last night, has some revenge ideas on its mind, and is a kind of a matchup situation that's difficult for the Raptors because of their speed and length. So if they get tomorrow, then I think they're going to run. They're going to go 4-1. If they get three and they get one of Cleveland Golden State, then I think they would have had a good – people would look at the end of that Golden State game and go, yeah, okay, they are legit.
Because the tricky thing to me is, as wonderful as Monday was and DeMar gets 52 and they win in overtime, it's an incredible game. They needed the best game ever played by a Raptor
to win.
Yeah. And, you know, and I mean, I guess that's a good sign that he did it, but – you know, again, I mean, this is all in the context of, you know, how good a good team are they, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. The second unit didn't play particularly well for a big stretch of that Milwaukee game. They did need to go to overtime against a just above 500 team at that point. That, you know, they held Giannis, only when he got 19 and 24 points, which is five below his average. He didn't go off on them. And they still needed a three-point play to buy DeRozan and a Kyle three to tie it in the regulation time. And then a couple of big shots in the overtime just to win at home, rested, and with a big crowd behind them. So, yeah, they need to make some statements. And I think a road win here tomorrow night and one of Milwaukee Golden State or Cleveland Golden State will – there's a lot of eyes opening to them now around the league. But I think if those things happen in the next week, people are going to go, okay – We may see these guys in June.
Let's go down that road for a minute. You mentioned people are starting to take a look at this Raptor team. Chauncey Billups, the ESPN crew, Michelle Beadle, they started talking about the Raptors last night legitimately. And that kind of took on a little life of its own on social media as well. Doug, how much are you sensing in league circles? Are people talking about the Raptors as some kind of threat? Are they a legit threat?
I don't think people around the league see them as a legit threat to Cleveland right now, but teams around the league have known for years this is a very good team. When they went 56, 51 wins the last 2 years, and if they don't get Cleveland in the second round last year, then their conference final is 2 years in a row and just can't get past LeBron James. So people in the NBA know this is a good team, but it didn't beat Cleveland a game in that first conference finals, and then got swept without their point guard for 2.5 games in the second round last year. And people see that as a failure. I see it as a fluke. They got the best team at the wrong time, and they lost their all-star point guard for 2.5 of the 4 games.
Right.
See, on that theme,
if Lowry, go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say on that theme. That's why I think this regular season is really vital, and you know, I think they need to be the first seed, at very worst the second seed if Cleveland's 3. You know, because I think if they're going to be in a position to at least rattle the cage, you know, with respect to the Cavaliers, they have to have everything going for them. Obviously, they got to be healthy, but you're not going to beat them in their place in game 5, right? I guess or game 6, right? You're going to win. If you're going to beat them, it's going to be at home in game 7, and you're going to need every voice in that arena on your side.
Absolutely. And I think Masai understands that. I know Dwayne, I'm sure Casey does that. And I know that they're, you know, sort of trying to manage Lowry and DeRozan's minutes, but when it gets to be late March and early April and you got to win the game to stay one ahead of Cleveland in the race for second, or half a game behind Boston in the race for number one, they're going to be playing 41 minutes. And that's the bottom line. Because they know, Mike, you're right, they need everything. They need the ducks lined up perfectly to take the shot at winning the East. And I personally think they could finish first overall in the Eastern Conference. I think that's an absolute possibility. Boston's got a bunch of games in hand, but they're tied in the loss column. Cleveland's going to punt the regular season. At some point, they're going to shut LeBron down for a week and a half and finish second or third. Boston's got a bunch of travel left. The Raptors have a lot of home stuff left in the regular season. They're done. After we get out of here, I think we'll come to Central Time Zone once more to play Minnesota.
Yeah.
So I think there's every reason in the world to be optimistic that the Raptors can finish first overall in the East.
Dougie, does the way DeMar's playing change the math for you a little bit in that, you know, so often the discussion around the Raptors has been, well, yeah, they've got DeMar and Kyle are great players, but, you know, they're not James Harden. They're not, you know, that quintessential superstar, let alone LeBron or Golden State having like 3 guys like that. But, you know, if he puts together another 35 games like he put together his first 35, you know, he's a top 5 player. He's a first team all NBA player.
Absolutely. And he's got to be probably top 3 or 4 in the MVP voting if he does that. And the way he's playing, I don't see it. I don't know if there's a reason to think that he won't. Because he's not doing it at his sort of, you know, give me the ball, pound, 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 I'm going to get us 35. He's also averaging, I think, what, 5 assists per game, which is,
yep,
by 1 a game, a career high.
I mean, I guess we can presume he's not going to shoot 53% from 3 or whatever he's shooting the last 6 weeks.
Right, exactly. But he's also, I think, he's making, you know, the big question was, would he ever make teammates around him better? And I think this year we're finding out that yes, he is.
Who's he helped the most, Doug?
Oh, I think probably the minutes he's on the floor with the backups, guys like Van Vliet and Pascal Siakam. Like, he made Fred Van Vliet into John Stockton in the overtime the other night.
Yep.
Passing the ball to, remember, he split the double team once in the corner. Van Vliet made the right cut, got it to him. Fred dribbled around the corner, around the basket, made a pass, and made a 3 that basically sealed the game. He's making guys like that better because he's willing to involve them more.
Yeah.
And I don't think, as they continue to win, I don't think that'll change. The big concern was early in the year, if you ask Colin DeMar to change the way they played and they didn't win, they would revert. Well, if you've asked them to change, they have changed, and they're winning. So I don't see any reason that won't continue.
Doug Smith's with us. He is the Raptors beat writer for the Toronto Star. Fellas, after the Raptors game last night, gotta love League Pass. I can flip it over, get the fourth quarter of the Mavericks and the Warriors. And it just got me thinking the way that game ended. I mean, when I was a kid, I was a huge Laker guy. I'd follow the Lakers every night. And I mean, in those days, all you could get was a score and kind of find out exactly how they'd win games in real bullet point form. But they'd go on long road trips. They'd go into another building where everybody wanted a piece of them, and they'd find ways to win late. And in the 90s, the Bulls did the same. I'm watching that game last night, and Golden State has a comfortable 12-point lead with 3 minutes to go. And here comes the Dallas bench, and they got the game tied. And Harrison Barnes, the former Warrior, is able to tie it with 10 seconds to go. And no timeout called. Here come the Warriors. Ball swung to the top to Steph. Dirk comes flying in his face, a seven-footer. Cooley knocks down a three. A game that was in doubt, it's over with the Warriors. They end up winning by three with 3 seconds left. How good is this Golden State team? Is, you know, well, do we put them in the conversation as one of the greatest of all time?
100%.
Oh, I think you got it. I don't, you know, I think people forget the 80s Lakers and Celtics.
Yeah.
Everybody compares them to the sets of Bulls teams, the two. Three-year runs that the Bulls had, but they'd be in the top five teams. Top five, seven teams of all time. They've won a championship, played for two. They've dominated regular season, 73 wins. They play in this, like Steve Kerr called it, chaotic manner this week, but they still win. And last night, frankly, Durant had like 23, 25 points. And is not playing tonight because he hurt himself in the first quarter and played through it. He's not going to play tonight in Houston because he was banged up and probably shouldn't have played last night, but did, and it still got 25 for him.
Yeah.
They can beat you so many different ways.
Well, and following that, Doug, I mean, Steph misses, a bunch of games? His first game back, he's 10 of 13 from three-point territory. I mean, rust?
Well, shooter's going to shoot, baby. You know, like Casey said, shooters never forget how to shoot.
I think if you were to poll a group of NBA fans or whatever it might be, are the Warriors underachieving this year? You know, I think your quick answer would probably be yeah, right? Well, they're on pace for about 65 wins, right?
They've got
the best offensive rating ever. And that's, as you point out, with injuries and all that. And then when Steph Curry was out, they had the best defensive rating in the league. So I think that they are, there's a little bit of a hangover there for sure. You know, winning two titles, playing the finals 3 straight years. There's also probably I don't know if the burden is the right word, but the knowledge that you can flip a switch, right? So how do you really manage that when you know that you don't play an important game till at least May and probably June? And so how do you really get up for Dallas in Dallas on a Wednesday or whatever it was?
Because you're so great and you're such a competitor, you win that game by making that shot with 3 seconds to go.
Right. The best thing that's happened
because
to,
that's what you do.
The best thing that's happened to Golden State this year is Houston because somebody's out there who's got their attention. And it's going to at least
They have, yes.
Yeah.
Fully have their attention or just somewhat have their attention?
I think Golden State likes the comfort of Oracle and would like to have a game 7 against Houston at home. So I think they got their attention. I don't think they will. They're obviously not going to chase 70 or 72 wins anymore. But I think they're going to play to stay ahead of Cleveland. Play to stay ahead of Houston, so that they are the one seed and you don't have to worry about a game 7 on the road in the conference finals.
In today's NBA, fellas, is there such thing as a barometer game? In an 82-game season where, you know, so often coaches are sitting players and it's about kind of the marathon, not the sprint. Is there, you know, are there regular season games that you can look at and say, okay, we'll really know what this team is about here? Or is it more looking at a stretch like the Raptors are in right now? This little 10-game stretch is a bit of a measuring stick of whoever they are. Is it more a specific game, or would it be a stretch over a couple of weeks that you would really look at?
I don't think it can be a specific game unless both teams could be rested. And then when one's not playing fourth game in 7 nights or the second game of back-to-back while you've been sitting home waiting for them, those games, they come up so seldom. Those games are interesting barometers for where you are vis-a-vis that team. But where you are as your own team, I think, takes a 10 or 12 game period to figure out, because there's going to be ups and downs, and there's going to be back-to-back games. There's going to be 5 games in 8 nights, that kind of stuff. There's going to be a lot of reasons for disappointing nights. So you take it as a longer gap you look at, 10, 12 games, rather than, we're playing Golden State and Cleveland in 3 nights. These are measuring sticks. Well, they are, except Golden State's playing on the Friday, and you don't know about Cleveland on the road. And so people tend to put too much into those ones, I think.
Mr. Smith, there are many cities in which I'm jealous of you being in tonight, and tomorrow is not one of them. Milwaukee.
Green's got us a great barbecue place, like next door to my hotel, and Major Goolsby's like an all-world sports bar. So we'll be all right.
It's 200 yards to the arena, Doug. I still think you should take a cab.
Oh, I plan to.
And if you see any extra Aaron Rodgers jerseys, throw them in a dumpster for me. All right, Mr. Doug Smith from the Toronto Star. Doug, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you guys later on.